The Lord promises, I will bear you up on eagle's wings. I will hold you in the palm of my hand. Lord, you have been our refuge from one generation to another. Before the mountains were brought forth, or the land and the earth were born, from age to age, you are God. You turn us back to the dust and say, come again, O child of earth. We come to worship the one who is our refuge, the living God, the living Word. We come in the name of Christ. Do you believe? Do you know Christ's name? Christ's name is not death. It is life, abundant, plentiful, resurrected life. We gather to celebrate the life of one whom Christ has called home. We gather to celebrate the life, both earthly and eternal, of Mary L. Andrus. Let us pray. O God of all the earth, you alone cast the stars across the heavens and brought forth life on our planet. We give you thanks this day for the precious gift of life, for the sun that shines, the rain that falls, the flowers that bloom, and for the gift of human life created in your own image. We give you thanks, O God, this day, for the gift of one who has been a blessing for many. We give you thanks for the gift of Mary L. Andrus, whose life we celebrate now by sharing our memories of her walk among us. We pray, O God, for your presence here and your presence with us each day. We pray that we may know the peace that comes from walking with Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to hear the words of a great hymn of the church, The Old Rugged Cross.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and its chained someday for gladly bear. He'll call me someday to my home far away, where His glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay. To the old rocket cross and exchange it someday for a
The family has chosen two passages of scripture for us to reflect on today. The first of these comes from the Psalms, Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless God's holy name. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so he removes our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. For he knows how we were made. He remembers that we are dust. As for mortals, their days are like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. These are the words of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Consider all the works thy hand hath made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great. Then Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior, God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great.
God is indeed great. From age to age, from everlasting to everlasting, from one generation to the next, the people of God bring praise to their Maker. We give thanks to God who brings blooms forth on roses, who causes the rain to fall upon the earth, and who blesses us with human life. Our second passage of scripture today comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 16 and continuing through 5, verse 8. So we do not lose heart, Paul writes, even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, if indeed when we have taken it off, we will not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan under our burden, because we wish not to be unclothed, but to be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, even though we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we do have confidence, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. There are mysteries of life that are hard to articulate. And Paul, the follower of Christ and great teacher of the church, tries to put into words one of those ineffable mysteries, the mystery of how it is that while here on earth we have what he calls a tent, earthly bodies, we move about walking by sight, and yet as people of faith we are called to trust in what we cannot see. Just as a gardener plants roses, perhaps a small shrub with no blooms on it, the gardener trusts that in time the rose will bloom in full. So too, as people of faith, we trust that in time we will see what cannot be seen on this earth. And that is the glory of God. In worship, we gather to give praise to the one who has clothed Mary, not with her earthly tent that we knew and loved, the human body that grew frail and betrayed her at the end. But we have come to worship God, who has clothed her now with the heavenly dwelling, which we cannot yet see, but which by faith we indeed trust is real. We gather this day to honor the life of one who has gone before us. We gather to honor her with words and with our presence. We honor this woman who loved gardening with a flower garden of her own this day. Before us, there are lovely flowers which will fade with time, but there are also rose bushes, one for each of her children, which will be planted in their own yards, which in seasons to come will remind them of their mother, whom they love and honor this day. Mary L. Andrus was born May 4, 1927, in Alliance, Nebraska, a daughter of Roy and Leota Squibb Rader. She was preceded in death by her parents and two brothers. We give thanks that her two younger sisters are able to be present here today to honor her memory. Mary was baptized at First Christian Church in Alliance, Nebraska, and for a time attended First Christian here in Casper. While a student at Alliance High, she served as a court reporter and worked for the county attorney during her senior year. After graduation, she married and moved to Denver, Colorado, where she worked for Woolworth's district office. After moving to Peoria, Illinois, her five children were born: Greg, Sue, Brian, David, and Sarah. In 1962, the family returned west, moving by train to Colorado, and then settled in Casper, Wyoming in 1968. Through correspondence courses and later college classes, she became first a legal secretary and then a certified paralegal, working for large law firms in Denver, San Francisco, and in Casper for Crowell and Chapin PC and the city attorney's office. Mary immensely enjoyed her career, working with some of the finest attorneys in our nation. A great highlight was being invited to be part of the 1994 legal team in Saipan, helping to rewrite the island's constitution. Perhaps it was her legal career that inspired her love of John Grisham's work and other crime and mystery novels. She was an avid reader, a crossword champ, and enjoyed all forms of music, everything from Lawrence Welk to the latest rock bands. Mary's children remember how she sacrificed for them. She was always there for them. In lean times, raising five children alone, she made certain that they never went without food and never went without love. Fortunately, Mary was an awesome seamstress and made clothes for her kids even through their high school years. Christmas was always a special time as she tried to find exactly the right gift for each family member. Even in recent years, when the gifts included fun gag gifts and hand-me-down white elephants as she cleaned out the house, she would type a note and story for every gift, explaining why it was chosen for each child or grandchild. She remembered every birthday and anniversary, made quilts for the grandchildren, and blankets for each of the family dogs. Yes, Mary was fond of animals. There would always be a menagerie of pets around: a dog, a cat, sometimes birds, a fish, and that rabbit. There was never a doubt Mary knew what she liked, and she let you know it. She was a stylish dresser. She kept up with current trends, even watching American Idol and always redecorated her home. It seemed that each time someone came home to visit, she had painted rooms yet another color. Remember the wallpaper kick when she papered even closets and a ceiling in her house? And what about her bold choices in design, including the black, white, and red kitchen, which looked so grand, but no one else would appreciate as much as she? She enjoyed gardening, painted china, and played cards every Friday with two best friends. It isn't possible to sum up in a few words 82 years of a life well lived. Mary L. Andrus was a good cook. She was a good person. She had a sharp mind. And we give thanks to God for her high energy that kept her working to the age of 80. Above all, Mary loved her children and grandchildren. Indeed, her greatest joy was simply sharing time with her family. As we gather downstairs after the service today for fellowship and refreshments, I invite each of you to honor Mary's memory by sharing your own recollections of the good times, the crazy times, perhaps, the times filled with love and laughter. I would like to share with you a letter written by Mary's daughter, Sue. In her own words, she speaks, I think, for all of Mary's children. Mom, as I sit to write this letter to you, I feel lost. You have been the most amazing mom any child, young or old, could have. All through my life, you were a teacher preparing me for this day. You were talented and artful from your sewing, cooking, manner of speaking. Your fun-loving sense of humor brought us through many difficult times and keeps the memories alive. You were adventurous in every way. You worked hard, and it was always for us, your children. You were kind-hearted and generous, honest to a fault. You raised us to be the same. Every day was a lesson, not always understood or valued at the time, but a lesson learned that would eventually take its place in my life. We had our troubles as I grew to be the independent person that I am. Fortunately, you always loved me, and I always loved you, and we worked through them. I was lucky to have you move to California to live near me. There we spent our time forming an adult relationship that would never waver, never bend, never break. I can so clearly remember the day the doctors informed you of your cancer. It was October 17th, 1989, my oldest brother's birthday, the day of the terrible earthquake in San Francisco. I was worried sick over where you were. You were just fine under that table at Red Robin, close enough to home to get there and be safe. How frightening it must have been for you to be given such a short sentence on your life. I remember your first chemo treatment and how I did not want to leave you at the hospital. When we got back to your house, we found Felix lying at the bottom of his cage, peeping, waiting for you to come home before he passed. Only a very strong woman could have made it through that day. You were tough. Through so many tests, you always smiled, and we'd giggle over some silly thing, like your shoes on the wrong feet. You rarely let it be known that it bothered you to lose your hair. You were so strong. Through the chemo and radiation, the side effects, the preparing and acceptance that death loomed near. Yet true to form, you did not let it take you out. You returned to work before your radiation treatments were finished. Up at 4 a.m. every day, you drove to the parking area, hopped on BART and went to the city, walked two blocks, worked all day, and came home the same way. You not only survived, but laughed in the face of cancer. The sheer determination of a woman who chose to survive because she now had grandchildren. This last illness took its toll on you. It took your strength, but not your spirit or courage. You were tired, but always remained selfless, classy, courageous to the end. I was blessed to be at your side when the angels came early that morning to take you home to the Lord. You are pain-free and at peace at last. I have to say thank you for being you, for raising me to be me. I cherish every moment of our lives together. I am proud to be your daughter. You are my hero. Love and hugs, Sue. 20 years ago, Mary survived cancer. More recently, illness came to her life again. She had heart surgery this past April and never fully recovered. Today, we gather in shared grief, acknowledging the emptiness that Mary's passing leaves in the lives of all who knew her. But we also gather as people of faith, rejoicing to know that Mary's life continues with her Lord. We give thanks that while on earth she savored life, living as a role model of high Christian morals and great ethics, teaching her children to be as honest as she was. We give thanks that now, for Mary, earthly suffering has ended, and she is clothed in what Paul calls that heavenly dwelling. May she hear Christ say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Let us pray. O God of all life, our words are inadequate to say to you our thanks for the life of Mary Andrus, for the gift that she has been, for the gift that she is. We thank you, Lord, for the certainty of faith that her life continues now with you, free from pain and clothed in glory. O Lord, for the full bloom of flower that Mary has become, we praise you for your gardener's hands at work in her life. We ask now, O God, that she, a daughter of your own shaping, may be welcomed home with all the saints of heaven to praise you from this day forevermore. Amen. There is a poem entitled Footprints in the Sand that tells the story of a person looking back over life and seeing two sets of footprints in the sand, one representing the individual's life and the other representing Jesus. The person telling the story is disturbed to find that at those times when life was hardest, there was only one set of prints in the sand. And so the person asks Jesus, "Why, when I needed you most, did you abandon me?" And the Lord answers, "It was in those times that I carried you." May God carry each one of us through the difficult times of our life. I invite you now to listen to a song that tells the story from the poem Footprints in the Sand.
When me footprints in the sand and help me understand where I'm going. You walked with me when I was all alone, with so much unknown along the way. Just say, "I promise you I'm always there. When your heart is filled with sorrow and despair,
Please pray with me. O God, our strength and our Redeemer, giver of life and conqueror of death, we praise you with humble hearts. With faith in your great mercy and wisdom, we entrust Mary L. Andrus to your eternal care. We praise you for your steadfast love for her all the days of her earthly life. We thank you that for Mary, all sickness and sorrow are ended, and death itself is past, and that she has entered the home where all your people gather in peace. And now may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you. May the Lord's countenance rest over you and give you peace to live from this day forevermore. Amen. This concludes our service today. The women of the church have prepared a reception in Fellowship Hall, which is directly downstairs beneath the sanctuary. I will invite the family to follow me out, and then I invite all of you to join them at a time of sharing remembrance. If you have not had a chance to sign the guest book, please do so that the family remembers your presence here today.